I'm going to call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order for Wednesday, January 17th, 2024. Please set your phones on stun and let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. Happy New Year. Will you do me a favor and call a roll, please?
Tom Clancy.
Here.
Tom Bezdecky, absent. Anthony Brodden.
Present, here.
Derek Neiman.
Here.
Dave Castellanos.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Ochi.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. We have a quorum. Next up is the approval of minutes from December 11th, 2023. Sure, you all read those. Any modifications, changes, motions? Let's say you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from December 11th, 2023.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any discussion? Either none, we're still doing roll calls according to Mr. Wicklin. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Clancy.
Yes.
Anthony Broadhead.
Ms. Stain.
Derek Neiman.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert
Ochi? Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. They're out there. We're all to see. Next up is Chairman's Report. I've heard this message before, but it's never going to get old because if you don't take care of a $275 million man-made flood control project, what you see on those greenish now pictures from September 2008 is what happens to your community. It's more important to be worried about why this project is in place as opposed to some of the peripheral things that go on. This is a 100% economic development project. Just first and foremost, because of the $4 million, is it $4 million a year that we put into the economy because of not having to pay mandatory flood insurance for the repay?
Four plus
is a good thing. Plus, not to mention the fact that over $1 billion in damage happened in September 2008 because of the purveyors of this project prior to that time weren't doing what they were supposed to do. So moving forward, we continue to work with the community. Obviously, we're working on a scenario where we're dealing with Mother Nature. You get 10 gallons of water for our five gallon bucket, we're going to have some issues. But we're far better prepared today than we were prior to 2008. Let's make sure we continue to look at the good part of what happens here is that the community is now inclusive of the entire watershed to make sure things like that don't happen to any part of our community. We're moving right along to the finance report because we still have to pay the bills. We need an approval of the claims for January 2024. First, we need a motion, though, folks.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve claims for January of 2024 in the amount of $267,908.94.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And we have a second. Some discussion. Mr. Repay, just the high ones, the other ones that you can cover in your director report.
I'll be quick. We did engineering work for the MLK culvert work. That's $30,000. We did work for the gate repair, which is HA24, which is considered Hammond's. That's how we number them. It's Hammond's 24th gate, located by the BMV, by the White Castle National Butterflies. That is now fixed and repaired, ready for inspections, which, by the way, inspections will start in April. BBP Enterprises, they cleaned Schoon Ditch from Columbia to Hart's Ditch. That was one thing that we've identified over the winter. The next thing we're going to attempt to do in coordination with the county is do Katie Marsh Ditch. And so we're going to try to work that from Cal Township all the way into Highland. Walker's Landscaping for $7,300 for mowing and trimming. Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance, which is $7,800 for pump station. And then we acquired 106 parcels on the commissioner's tax sale. That's for $11,715 for Abrahamson, Reed, and Hills. Beyond that, there is a donation for the wildlife education exhibit. As you know, he's the gentleman who actually, there's a few, Paul and Mr. Ferguson, Tim, that trap the wild animals and take care of some of our needs there. They also run a educational summit for kids and organizations. And this is This is an annual donation, just to give you perspective. County, their county person charges $200 per beaver. So I think we're getting a pretty decent deal here. So other than that, you can ask whatever. These are,
are there any questions for Mr. Repay on paying the bills? Either or none, we have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Thomas Lindsay.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Casalano.
Yes.
Ron Wheeler.
Yes.
Robert Lucci.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes. Paying the bills. Next up is the executive director's report. Have at it, Mr. Repay. What's going on in the field?
Well, most importantly, I think Commissioner Whitaker said it before, but we'll formalize it at next meeting, that our relationship, at least as far as our partnership with the Corps, as it relates to construction, has concluded in a letter that they had sent to us shortly after our meeting on December, I think it was 11th. We got it shortly thereafter. There is some money that needs to exchange hands. They owe us some money, and until that happens, we won't be 100% closed out, but we hope to have that accomplished, and it will be on our agenda for February. As I said before, we acquired 106 parcels from the Lake County Commissioners. Those parcels are ones that have not paid taxes more than three installments. And if you read in the newspaper, they're called the churners, which they just keep going and going. And so they offer it to government agencies as to which ones would be beneficial for you, for us to own. In this case, most of those 106 are located in Deep River, like physically in Deep River, that were platted as such, and also some areas off of Central Avenue and gosh, what is that road in Kinkle Lake Station? It's just real blank. But whatever the road, Clay Street. So it's between Clay and there, and we were working with GFC to acquire those. Once again, we've done levy security. They've had some run-ins with some individuals. Jody had made a little flyer for vehicles that they've seen, but they couldn't necessarily get the individual out, reminding them that hunting is not allowed on the river or trespassing on our property. We've also worked with NIPSCO to enforce that issue, also to stop some of the dumping that is occurring. Hard ditch stabilization. The county commissioners approved or accepted the bids from Austin Equipment, which was the lowest bidder for the next phase of the stabilization, which is from 45th Avenue to Franlin, and we expect that work to be done once we both sign interlocal agreements, probably sometime this spring. Talked about the MLK culvert replacement. We're working to get permission for the sandbar modification. That's removing the sediment from on either side of Kennedy Avenue, which has filled in over the years. We're looking to remove that material, put it against the bank, which is going to require a pour away, but it will help with the better drainage. Along the same lines, Kennedy Avenue, we are applying for a Ready 2 grant, which is a grant run through the IEDC in Indianapolis for some funding to finish the Kennedy Avenue Bridge, which is the lowest spot in this in our system as we speak, and one of the first closures besides Northcott Bridge. We've had watershed applications. You will see some of them. I will break them up so we don't have a marathon session. I believe there are six. So maybe three and three, four and two, depending on the complexities of the ask. Burke has finished at least the initial modeling for Beaver Dam Ditch and Turkey Creek using the 2008 and 2018 large rain events, so that they can show you what has occurred. What they're also going to do in this next couple weeks is put the Stinky Creek application in, so that you can see what the impact of Deep River and Turkey Creek for that change. They're also going to add or reduce, what is that, by Turkey Creek, the railroad crossing by the golf course. So they've also taken that into consideration to see what impacts that will be in order to reduce the flooding that occurs in Turkey Creek and for us to make better decisions, and as well as the County Drainage Board to make good decisions on when there's different projects and variances requested. Katie Marsh Ditch, there's a conflict right now between the electrical contractor in NIPSCO as to where they placed the electrical box, but we hope that will get resolved soon. And NIPSCO should be putting up the power at the Natural Spring. They've got the approval from the railroad. NIPSCO called me. I met them. Why didn't we out there? They were at the wrong location. We put them in the right location, and as long as there are no major power outages, I would expect that to be up next week. So that's the fastest report I think I can give you.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Repay? What's going on in the field? I have a first one having to do with the Schoon Ditch. Are you telling me there's a NIPSCO issue with the Schoon Ditch scenario as well?
No.
And in Hart Ditch and at the water fountain?
No, there should be a Katy Marsh. At Katy Marsh Ditch, we have the Raker project that we are working with the town of Griffith on. Where the electrical panel was placed, at Arbor Gas, and I don't recall the street that's the West Street, but there's a visual issue where the car cannot see north-south traffic on Arbor Gas, so they've got to move that now. And by moving it, you got to need another permit, which requires NIPSCO to move a pole that wasn't necessarily initially supposed to be moved. It's one of those things, but that's what we have to do to in order the town is getting several complaints, and they went out and they had their folks look at it, and the good line of sight is going to cause some traffic issues. And I wish I could tell you what that road is. That's just to the north of the Katy Marsh, but
safety first. But that means the Raker project thing isn't completed yet, nor is it working.
That's correct. So we're doing manual cleaning on the one grate that we have access to. And has been reminded of that issue in light of Commissioner Nimitz brought up the fact that although we're at 15 degrees today and we're going to get snow tomorrow, it's going to be 50 degrees and raining next week.
And so, frozen ground, which is not good.
Correct. So we're aware of that, and we're going to deal with it.
10-4. Anything else for Mr. Repay? I'll let him off. All right, moving right along. Next up is other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve a proposal with NCAP Incorporated for annual maintenance of Chase Street and Black Oak mitigation sites in an amount not to exceed $90,000 pending legal review.
Is there a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
This project was completed 2-3 years ago by the Corps. This is our end project mitigation. NCAP did the original work. It's a little bit of a not clear design as far as what the area is. It's best probably NCAP to do it. They're qualified. They've done good work, and they're going to do a controlled burn this spring. At least that's what the schedule is.
Now, how does that fit into all the other mitigation that we had done or have been doing from, what is it, Martin Luther King?
It's separate. So this is a part of the project. This was required by our LCA, which our local cooperating agreement with.
Which is going away, by the way.
Which is going away, but we still have to, by our permits through DNR and IDEM, we still have to maintain 5 years, I think, after the finish of the cycle. So, because you can't let it go back to what it used to be. So, even though it was a federal project, we agreed to maintain it for 5 years as part of the permit. The place between Malcolm X and Martin Luther King and the Grant Street Marsh and the area off of where the rookery is us just taking it upon ourselves. We're not getting any credit for it. We're doing it just for the betterment of the area.
So are we making sure that as we do all of these different mitigation projects that we're not leaving gaps and we're doing similar to what we did in the collars for the properties just to make sure there's continuity and extend whatever project with whatever entity to make sure that we don't grow phragmites in between the both of them, which seems to be our real program.
Yeah. And the Corps is working on doing a phragmite database. I was part of a call, but anyways, to your point about the gaps and the open spots, the Lake County Collaborative, I know there's a bigger name for it, which is Lake County Parks and Audubon and the Wetland Initiative and all those folks, They're going to come in April to show you exactly what you're asking for. And that is the whole game plan from Martin Luther King all the way to Clark Street, I believe, what their game plan is as far as fixing and interworking our mitigation that we've already done into that whole. I think they had, it's 700 acres, if I'm not mistaken, from what I've spoken to them about.
And this replay, Mr. Repaint, please do me a favor, because as much as they, all of those people you just mentioned like to go out in those spots and it's wide open and they get to play on the field with nobody around them, but still continue to force them towards where the density is and all of the issues associated where everybody is from the, let's call it Klein Avenue to the state line.
You're speaking of the phragmites.
I'm speaking of just doing something to enhance the natural wildlife and not having to be just a big weed farm.
And that may include further to the west than Clark Street or Burr Street. I don't know, but I know they said 700 acres, and they give me more information as it becomes closer to the date that they want to present to you, which I have right now is April. The month of April.
You know, I appreciate all the presentations and the update, and by all means, those before and after pictures are outstanding. Plus, come on.
But they're going to ask you for money.
Well, yeah. Well, give us a number and tell us what you're going to do.
And that's what they're going to do.
All right. Thank you. All right. I'm sorry. I got off on a, what do they call that thing? A rabbit hole. Yeah, rabbit hole. No, it's got to be wildlife associated, Mr. Oji, so I'm going to go rabbit hole too. All right, there's a motion and there's a second. Any discussion? At that.
I thought we were.
There's a motion and a second.
Yeah, no, this is discussion. But I was under the impression that we were going to hold off, but okay.
All right, there's motion and second. This is Lambert.
Tom Clancy.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Pascolano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Oji.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Okay.
William Baker.
Yes. Moving right along.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to authorize the chairman to enter into a lease for the commission's office space. Pending legal review.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Mr. Repay, this has to do with moving your offices, correct?
That's correct. And the plan is to centralize all of our operations through O&M, which we have on a third party basis, our emergency response, as well as our office. And we would have our monthly meetings located there as well.
Motion and a second. Any discussion?
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Director, Dan Simon. I don't have titles.
He's been doing this for a while.
This doesn't change the third party O&M. This doesn't change who's currently doing work and where they're doing it from and what they currently have in their possession to actually perform the work.
No, we talked about this earlier, but and it's willing to speak in front of everybody. It's beneficial that we have third party.
Turn my call.
It says power on. It's beneficial to have third parties in the places that we need them. So for instance, we have first response.
Try that one, please, Jody.
I'm sorry.
Because it needs to be recorded so everybody can hear.
So we have first response.
I can hear him here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Northern Indiana Mechanical, which is more of a heavy operator, that is up in Gary. We have Glenn in Gary. Then you go into Highland, we have the sandbag machine, and they're public works folks in Highland. We have the actual sandbags themselves. I think at the last count, it was 250,000 sandbags that are unfilled, that are in currently, that are stationed at Fisher Avenue in Munster. So all those folks, and plus you've got Wilcher, you've got BBP, you've got several of them that are placed all throughout. So we know what the capabilities and capacities are of almost all of these subcontractors. So that's the long answer to your short question. Really should have been, it doesn't change anything. It just really centralizes us as far as having all of our stuff in one place, administrative level.
Thank you.
What about the fact that
we were we had a like a war room in Highland, and we don't have that anymore?
Yeah, I mean, during emergency responses, we used Central Fire Station in Highland, which is on Highway Avenue. Unfortunately, Chief Timber, who is a huge supporter and a good friend, passed away in August. And that changes things. We were using that fire station as emergency response. Things changed, unfortunately, and now we need to have that. We don't have that, and this will take that spot. We've been working with some folks in the technology world that will allow us to both see simultaneously the graphs of our watershed as well as the SCADA system on our pump stations. We'll be able to direct the contractors and the people where we need to get them to based off that information, as well as we have, you know, we have scanners and we have a lot of other stuff that will allow us, we have our cameras off the pump stations that can do that. All that will be almost at our fingertips right there. We won't have to move.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Dan, were there any other office real estate operations in Highland or Gary that you could have looked at?
Well, we looked at several locations. We looked at probably the best one that we wanted to locate to, which was off of Corinne Drive, which is right off of Kennedy Avenue, right by the BW3s. Unfortunately, we didn't move as fast. A group that was faster could move. It was still a little bit, going to be a little bit tight, but that went away. We've looked at other places. We looked at Dyer. We physically went into the building in Dyer. We looked into a building, Hammond, I think we did one in Highland. So we were looking at several locations. This blank slate allows us to create a space that we don't have to retrofit and make it work. I'm not going to take a dentist's office and try to fit it. Like, for instance, right now, the office that we're in was an adoption agency. And prior to that, we were in Portage. So we were Portage for 19 years. I wasn't, but the previous organization was in Portage, and that's where the meetings were.
And NERC. Any other questions? Motion and second. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
No.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Woodruff.
Yes. Moving right along.
Lawndale is a decision.
Sorry. All right. Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the executive director to seek bids for the paving and fencing of three parking lots located within the overt mitigation area.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay, I thought we did this already.
No, we never gave myself. He never gave me authorization to do it. We were talking about doing it, but when we look back at it, we didn't have authorization. I don't want to do it without your authorization. So basically, we're paving in the three parking lots and fencing them. What we call the Hobart mitigation site that was done through the Corps that is currently managed by DNR. And a part of our interlocal agreement with DNR says that we need to pave the parking lots. So because I think it's going to be maybe over $100,000, I don't want to go up against not sending it out for bid and doing proposals.
Well, the asphalt plant doesn't open for a while, but who's going to be doing the maintenance of this paving and fencing of three parking lots after this work is completed?
If you're looking at them two doors down.
DNR.
Correct. Our job in the interlocal is just simply to create it. And we're using their advice as to how they want it to look so that we do it.
So this is still part of the LC?
No.
This is not?
No. This is a part of what we just did with NCAP. But just on a scale of DNR, and because Hobart requires parking lots to be paved, this is why we're doing it. And we'd like to fence it so that we don't have knuckleheads running through a mitigation area that Derek is trying to keep clean.
Mr. Nimitz, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
After you move on to bigger and better things, is there some paperwork that needs to happen to make sure the next DNR individual understands the maintenance requirements as it pertains to this particular location?
That's something that still needs to be papered with the Little Cameron River Basin Development Commission.
Thank you. Mr. Repay, capiche? Mr. Wicklund, capiche?
Yeah.
Any other discussion on this one?
Yes, I have a question for Mr. Wicklund. I work for the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, and I am the property manager for Holbrook Marsh. It is my understanding that I need to recuse myself from this motion and vote. Is that correct?
I agree.
Thank you.
Nicely done. Any other comments? We have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Trusty.
Yes.
Anthony Broadus.
Yes.
Sarah Linnitz recused. Dave Casalanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes, ma'am. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to authorize the executive director to take bids for the seal coating of various trails along the levee system.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. And then in stereo. Mr. Repay, I thought we were doing this already.
Once again, we look back and we didn't get the authorization from you formally. And since it's gonna get close to being, whether we separate it into by cities or by sections, it still may run up against about the 100 to 150 range. I'd rather just get the authorization to do it, and we're done.
Are you looking to do it all as one contract, or are you looking to segment
out? We'll separate it just from the geography standpoint. For instance, Hammond's segment would be from Northcott to Wicker Park. That needs to be done. That trail on the north side needs to be done.
What about everything towards Calumet Avenue and the state line?
That's relatively new.
All right. So this is just starting with it. But that was what, phase five?
Stage seven. So that should be relatively new. And when we do inspection, we sort of give a look-see to see what is questionable.
And then you and I have been talking about this for years. What's the oldest segment of what was paid? Because most of what happened in Gary, we did that after we got money just to be able to get equipment in and out of those remote locations.
Some of the areas in Gary were just done recently, but some of them were already existing paved. Like, for instance, between Martin Luther King and Clark, no, between Martin Luther King and Georgia or Malcolm X, that area on the North Levee wasn't done. We just did it. So that was a part of us, and we ended up stopping short of going back to Ironwood because we didn't really want to invite traffic back to Ironwood because Ironwood's a dead end. It becomes basically a cul-de-sac back there, so it's not really ideal. So there are some areas that we've done. We know what those areas are. The areas that we're talking about in Gary, more than likely, are going to be from Harrison to Grant and then from Grant to Chase on the south side of the levee are the ones in the biggest sort of disrepair that need some assistance to before they get too bad. The ones in Highland are going to be between Kennedy Avenue and Klein Avenue on the south. That's a long stretch, so that will be separated just because you can't expect a seal coating company to want to bid on. I mean, they can bid separately each one of them, but to do all of them is a stretch. You're going to talk about 8-10 miles probably.
And you want to do that this construction season.
Yep.
All of those segments, for lack of a better term, that you've identified that are in need of that repair, because all asphalt needs to have this happen on a consistent basis or it just turns into gravel.
So the thought is you'll do each segment separately, and then you can, if you want to bid on the whole one, you'll give me a whole price.
10-4, is there any, and did put a pin in the aspect of looking at how we might be able to utilize this to help with our hunting challenges and also to be able to provide access to folks to be able to enjoy some of the cool spots that you get to see off of that trail?
Well, I mean, our game plan, I think, for the hunting access is simply to go to the Erie City Council and ask them to pass an ordinance that does not allow the discharge of a firearm or weapon inside city limits. If we can do that, then we take away all of our, in my opinion, issues. But since there is no ordinance that exists, that's our issue that we face right now.
Unbelievable. Okay, thank you. Any other questions with regards to this? We have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnick.
Yes.
Sarah Linnitz.
Yes.
Dave Casalanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert Ochi.
Yes.
LeVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. All right, moving right along. My favorite part, statements to the board from the floor. If you'd like to help us with some of this stuff, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address. And Mrs. Lambert, please help me with regards to Zoom because, you know, I'm a senior citizen and I don't handle that very well.
We do have some people on Zoom that would like to speak. So we can start with Doreen Carey, if you'd like to go ahead. You're on mute. You have to unmute yourself.
See, I don't feel so bad.
Okay. I'm unmuted now, I think. Can you hear me?
We can.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I did write a letter to everybody's email. I don't know if anybody has actually looked at it, but my concern was that the office for the staff was being moved even further away from the river and the people most impacted by the river. And I thought it would be more convenient for people who would like to access the office and I guess in the future attend meetings if it were closer to the river communities and also further west. I don't quite understand why everything up to now has been in Munster and continues to be in Munster. It strikes me that if you are interested in developing our area in a sustainable way and in a way that gives people access to you that have not had as good access perhaps as others, you would move west potentially. I'm from Gary, so I'm most interested that you would find a place in Gary. Now, you've already voted to, I guess, lease the area that was identified at 94th and, 9410 Calumet Avenue. And I believe that's just like on the far south edge of the watershed, even if we're talking about doing development inside the watershed. So I just have some questions as to why it wouldn't be more important and more appropriate for the Basin Commission to have their staff offices and their meetings closer to the river and closer to the communities who live near the river. Also, I believe in the original agenda, it suggested that this consideration was going to be based on a legal opinion, and I didn't exactly hear that in the motion. So if you are would like to answer a question, my question is, why not closer to the river and the river communities? And two, what is the legal question that might be involved? Thank you.
Dan, well, up to the river community, it is in the river community, and it's only a half a mile from where we're sitting right now. So the watershed, as you know, goes all the way down to St. John, so it's not near the south end. So as it relates to that, that's that answer. Relating to moving it west, this is the western part of the watershed. So I think when you were discussing your point in Gary, it should be east. So I'll correct you with that. So we did look at all kind of communities and options as far as buildings since May and what would be able to meet the criteria of all the things Dan outlined earlier. And we're comfortable that we've done our due diligence.
That was my east, but the Eagle, what is the legal question that needs to be addressed for this lease agreement?
Well, you always have to have, and this is my experience with regards in the public sector, have the attorneys overlook the documents and all the processes to make sure it meets all of the statutes that we have to operate under per the General Assembly and how we were able to generate the perpetual funding source that we currently are working with. Okay, thank you. Is there somebody else online?
Carolyn Brady?
Yes, ma'am.
You're on mute.
You're muted, ma'am. So before you start talking too much, you have to turn your microphone on.
Fall into bottom left corner.
All right, here I am. Sorry. Okay, good evening, everyone. Doreen and I basically had the same response to this move. And as she pointed out, you know, you were in Munster and now you're staying in Munster, but even closer to Crown Point, which already has been a problem for people trying to attend your meetings. And even though we are very glad to see the commission doing work in Gary after a long hiatus, we're concerned that moving so far away will make it even harder for people in Gary to access your meetings. And so we just feel that you're our representatives, you are publicly paid to carry out the authority of the statutes that authorize you to function. And it just doesn't sound to me like that this move further south and probably even further east is in line with that. And so I'm just concerned about the representation to our community. Are you still planning on having some meetings in Gary now that you're going to be even further out? I know you say you're only a half mile, but when people don't have transportation, and Crown Point is a distance from our cities, are you still planning on having meetings in Gary as you had indicated before? Because we would like to know that. We would like to have that be part of, let's say, your consideration to us while you steadily move further and further away from us, if you could make a decision to make a commitment to hold quarterly meetings in Gary, like you did last year. And I thought it was very successful. People showed up. It was at IUN. It was, it was a good evening. You have everything you need there. And, then you go home. So I'm wondering if you could make a commitment to quarterly meetings held in the city of Gary.
Thank you. I mean, we won't commit to anything, but we will commit to the point that we will go on road and be able to take the commission out into the communities to be able to have a chance to be able to voice their concerns in a manner that doesn't involve Zoom or driving, west.
That doesn't involve driving west? Is that what you said?
I did.
Does not involve driving west?
Well, if you go on the road, ma'am, and we take the meeting to the communities,
yes,
you wouldn't have to drive west, which would be what the previous,
Vermont areas
brought right. out, right? So you would be able to be closer that way. Now, Crown Point, where the county building is quite a drive away from, anywhere in the county. But we're more focused on making sure that the system and the watershed is taken care of. And we do that in such a manner where, regardless of where we are, we make sure that's the number one priority. Thank you. Is there somebody else?
I have one more question. I'd like to know who the real estate person was that you worked with in Gary to locate a facility.
We did not work with any brokers from the standpoint of having representation.
So then how do you know what's there and what isn't?
Well, through numerous methods, of course, some of the people here on the board, myself included, do this for a living because we don't work for the commission. This is something we do for the greater good. Between the networks that we have, between the locations that we have that are more susceptible to be able to meet our needs, those things were all taken in consideration prior to even coming up with the final list.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else on there?
That's all I have.
No. Anybody here? Yes, sir.
Hi, Gary Lee. Gary, I just wanted to ask you one question.
Is the mic on, Gary? Tap and see.
I don't know.
Just tap and see. No.
I can hear him fine.
There you go. You want this?
I just have Gary Lee from Gary.
Roger.
One question: as part of your due diligence, did you research the possibility of building a building?
Yes.
Okay. And why did you rule that out?
Expense. We try not to own as many things as we possibly can.
That makes no fiscal sense, but that's
and construction expense.
Appreciate your opinion. Anybody else? Going once, going twice. Next up on the agenda, I'm going to bring it back to the board. Mr. Ware.
Nothing at this time.
Mr. Whitaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank the folks that came out and spoke on behalf of the concern, especially the one regarding real estate. There were some questions that I think a lot of us had throughout this process and some things that we each sort of took the time to voice and express. In particular, mine's where, as you guys know, we don't, you know, have the traditional committee meetings. We don't have committee meetings at all. But it's necessary for us, and sometimes it takes us a little bit longer to come to some consensus or some discussion. This is one of those where I think a process in terms of trying to understand as a governing body, what goal do we want to accomplish with a new office or a, and what does that new office look like? What does it entail? There's some things that we, some gaps I think that we could have done better. But rest assured that some of the discussion that took place earlier during the meeting that came up, the O&M operational and maintenance part, my third party contractors, those people will remain in place in their respective locations where their businesses are currently located. And that assurance for me is very important for each community, because we sort of set out to make sure that contractors are competent and that they're able to fulfill the responsibilities of operations and maintenance of the watershed on a routine basis, as well as on a non-routine basis, sort of an impulsive or random basis. So you won't see the disruption there. I like the question about continuing to go on the road. I think that's very important. It helps folks feel engaged, even if they don't take us up on it. At least there's the opportunity to know that their community was taken under consideration for being able to attend the meeting that's in their backyard. And that's all that I have. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Wyszlanski.
Just follow up with Mr. Whitaker a little bit. I want to thank all the individuals that were involved in this, Dan and Jody. Believe me, there was a lot of discussion internally with Dan and Jody as to what the needs were, what we needed as far as the commission is, and what Mr. Whitaker said, everything as far as the operational side is really not changing. This is strictly the office where we operate out of, and it also gives us the opportunity to have a meeting place that is going to be available to and I want to thank all the people that voiced their opinion, because we value that. And believe me, this board takes all that stuff into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ochi.
Yeah, just not to pile on, but to your point, Tom, and to Levon's point, thank you for your letters, Doreen and Caroline. I did read your letters. Response was given by our chairman. I think there's been a lot of due diligence research, a lot of, I guess, a lot of aspects of how the commission operates. I don't know, Doreen or Carolyn, if you've been to the existing office for the commission over the last 5 years, 6 years, there are issues and constraints with that office building. There are constraints here in the town hall of Munster that we deal with and Dan deals with and Jody deals with on scheduling. So I think this new office space will give us the latitude and options and be more flexible as far as having meetings within our within the office, not just for public meetings on a, you know, one day monthly meeting schedule. So I think thank you for your comments. I think the decision to go forward is based upon a lot of objective viewpoints, and thank you.
Mr. Brodnix, are you available?
I am. Thank you for not forgetting about me. Yeah, I first of all, stay safe and happy new year to everyone. And then I also wanted to specifically address the comments about the office space. And hopefully, again, as Robert said, not to pile on, but I also wanted to specifically address the issue of representation. I would just ask the public and the people who wrote in to think of it, the office move, simply as kind of, and by no means am I equating us to like a state capitol, but, you know, like a state capitol. Not all state capitals are exactly in the center of their state. Fortunately for us, Indianapolis is, but, you know, Boston, for example, is not in the center of Massachusetts. It's really as simple as that in terms of the location. So I would ask that you think of it that way. And then also with respect to what, how the office functions. Primarily, we are replacing, I would say, three functions where we have only been able to utilize the office for one function. Number one, first and foremost, is the location of work for our staff, Dan and Jody. That's, you know, 250 days a year for two people. And as Robert mentioned, Mr. Ochi mentioned, you know, currently the space is limited. We've all been there. It's very small. And we've been there for a long time, and it is just becoming a challenge, which is why we started this exercise about a year ago. The second function, as Mr. Repe mentioned when we were going through the motion, is that we also have an advisory board that helps us with emergency operations and things of that nature. And we have been using an office in Highland, basically, I want to say the fire department or fire chief's office. That is no longer available to us. And then also for public meetings as this one, and between the advisory board and this one, those are both 12 days a year. You know, this meeting, the town of Munster has been very accommodating, but that relationship is changing. Obviously we're still here. But we don't have the flexibility because this is the town of Munster's building. So, you know, sometimes we are limited in flexibility. And then the fourth thing I would specifically add is that last year, we did go on the road. In fact, the last two or three years we have gone on the road. And sometimes I remember particularly in Maryville and Crown Point, we do want to connect with the community, but at the same time, sometimes, and again, particularly as I recall in Maryville and Crown Point, the setup is different. And so sometimes we can't facilitate the meeting. We can't facilitate the Zoom. The cameras aren't in the same angles, all of those things. Had a lot of challenges to overcome that way. And we want to try to avoid that so we have an effective meeting as well. So I just wanted to specifically address the public's comments with respect to that. Ideally, you would be in the middle. And we did look at a lot of different options. So just want everyone to know that your concerns have been duly taken care of, I think. That's all for me.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Nimitz.
Nothing to add.
Sir Castellanos.
Yes, I would like to say that I'm very sorry that we weren't able to go ahead and accommodate the city of Gary. As you know, this is a message to Carol and Lorraine, and to other representatives, and Gary, who spoke to me, even as tonight before I came to the meeting, that I tried to see if we can move into Gary. Gary has a lot of great opportunities. I think it's on the rise. The last meeting that we had spoke to that Gary's on the rise again, and let's not give up hope, and let's encourage other entities to move into the spaces that we have. We have a lot of good empty governmental spaces that can be used. So, but besides all that, there is one hope we have on for us, and that's this LOMAR application that's going before the city of Gary, which is going to help development, just like it helped Hammond, Munster, and Highland. As you can see from Walmart, Cabela's, and all the rest of that. So once that LOMAR application goes through, Gary will be on the rise again. And we're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wickham.
Nothing to add.
Mrs. Lambert.
Nothing.
Next meeting is in February. It's on the 21st. Check the website for the location, and I'll entertain a motion. Adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you very much. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Stay warm, everybody. Please be careful out there. It's going to be a tough couple of days.